Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sixers Draft Podcast. I am your host, as always, Daniel Olinger, joined today by a good friend of mine, Francis from at Ben Thrifty on Twitter. It's a very creative handle. I always love seeing him pop up on the timeline. Now, Francis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really, really well. Thank you. The Twitter handle came along from as a Twitter name, I just did like Spencer Ben Thrifty instead of Dinwiddie or something like that. I did that for like a couple of months, and then I decided I want to just change my name altogether. So I did the lazy way and just picked that because I was like, all right, this seems unique enough, so I'll just run with it. Yeah, like it means nothing, but I just ran with it. So
no, it's a great one. And today we're gonna talk about a prospect that Francis kind of like. Term, like I knew who he was, I'd heard of him talked about, but Francis is probably the one who, like, I would say, I'm looking for the right word, I think primed me to him in a way, because he had seen him talking about like how good this guy is, like his utility, and that is Sam Hauser out of Virginia. I've already written about one Virginia prospect in Trey Murphy that I've taken a look at. Sam Hauser is definitely less talked about, but I think me and Francis are going to get into why that maybe he should be talked about more, because here's one thing you all need to know about Sam Hauser. He is 6'8", and he can shoot the absolute lights out. Like, I mean, Francis, I'll let you go on too, but you said he's one of the best shooters you've probably ever seen, at least at the college level.
Yeah, I think, I mean, to be honest, like, part of the reason why, like, I'll frame it this way is, like, in terms of NCAA track record, he's probably like for like legitimate prospects, like maybe only his teammate at Marquette, like Marcus Howard, is like the only one close in recent years since like Steph Curry. And in terms of like consistent NCAA shooting track record. Now, of course, a lot of times because a lot of these prospects, if they're good enough, they leave as a freshman or so. But I mean, Sam has been shooting like this ever since he was a basketball player. He was shooting like that in high school. He was shooting like this in college. He shot like this in multiple systems too. He was like Marquette plays completely different from Virginia, and it still didn't affect him as a dangerous shooter. In fact, I think his shooting has only expanded since he left, even though his percentages have probably gone down. So yeah, he's just like a wild shooting resume that you don't come across ever so often, and I'm surprised that even if you don't think of him as a prospect, it's like that is just a hard one, that like this is like a legendary shooting career.
Yeah, just to add some like numbers behind what Francis is saying here. So in his 4 years of college play, Hauser has never shot under 40% on three, and he's made at least like 63s in all of the seasons, and usually a lot more. He made about 63, I think, his freshman year, but like, so obviously a lot of volume. He's never been inaccurate, and I did a quick Bartorvik search this morning. Here is the total list of college players to hit over 300 threes in their career on 43% three-point shooting and above throughout their whole career, which is John Jenkins, Micah Mason, Sean Armand, Jared Stoll, Bryn Forbes, and Sam Hauser. And the thing you all should also know about that is Sam Hauser is the tallest of all of them, again, at 6'8". So exactly what backing up what Francis has said, like, you know, maybe there are some like really impressive shooters who just like they are so good they leave after that first year, leave sooner than that. But like, he's basically just proven that he is one of the best shooters on planet Earth through all 4 years.
Yeah, it's like, and I think the thing to harp out really is the fact that he's 6'8", because I think a lot of times with shooting, a lot of translation often is like, can you keep it with the translation is like a lot of the best shooters are the smaller players, but mm-hmm. it's much harder in the NBA to get your shot off when you're that small. Like Carson Edwards is the perfect example recently where like he was an amazing shooter in college at Purdue, but of course there's still time. He could learn to adjust going forward, but it's when you're 6 feet tall, it's harder to be a highly dynamic movement shooter or even a pull-up shooter, to be honest. Of course, I think more and more players will be learning how to do that as pull-up shooting gets more and more emphasized and dynamic shooting in general off ball as well. But it's even now, like being this, having that 6'8 height, being a legitimate forward size is a really, really big a point in the fact that he's such a great shooting prospect. Like if he's 6'4", then yeah, then there's a much, much.
Yeah, he's not getting drafted. He's not getting drafted if he's 6'4".
Yeah, so like Fletcher McGee was another one.
Oh, that's a throwback. Surprisingly, like it's not impossible he doesn't get drafted this year. I would say he probably should, but like you're definitely right that just being 6'8" is such a huge deal. Like I think in a good lens for Sixers fans to think of it through is that, you know, Seth Curry is one of the best 3-point shooters, like especially open catch and shoot, like we've ever seen. I think Seth Parnell always says like he's like 55% for his career on like wide open catch and shoots, like just insane numbers. But everyone wonders, why is he not taking more threes? Well, the dude is 6'2" and doesn't have an elite handle. Like, so it is, you have to work so hard to get open shots against good NBA defense then. Like, and you even saw it when he was feeling against the Hawks in game 5, like they were running him off a million double drags, a million Iverson actions, trying to get him open. And he could get open. He was shooting incredible, but like eventually you wear down. It's unless you have like the guys who I think of as the smaller players who are still like incredible shooters, like let's say Steph Curry, Trae Young, Kyrie Irving, just to name three off the top of my head. Like those guys are like of elite of the elite handles, quickness, hand-eye coordination, and like I said, pull-up shooting. Like you have to be like freakishly special in terms of your skill to manufacture that. Just being 6'8" as a shooter gives you a larger margin of error because it can be as simple as the dude guarding me is 6'5". I can shoot over him. I mean, again, and we just watched we're recording this the day after the Milwaukee Bucks have now won the NBA Finals. I mean, he's obviously not the same player, but like Chris Middleton's whole thing is that he's 6'8" and he's usually guarded by dudes who are 3 inches shorter than him. And it doesn't matter how good a defense he plays sometimes. Like if he's at a spot he likes and he can rise up over you and he's that good of a shooter, it's just very hard to deal with. I just like betting on shooters of size. It's just a generally a good archetype to bet on. Like obviously there's more to it, but I think just having that base to build from is something that's so good for him.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like I feel like especially even like this draft in general is like a very good forward shooting role class. Like there's the Trey Murphy, there's the
Kessler Edwards,
there's Kispert, all these players. So, but in my opinion, actually, like in terms of at least if you're talking about just strictly shooting, Hauser is the best out of all of them. And that's mm-hmm. a really good class of them. So, maybe your opinion on that other skills that other players in that similar role have will outweigh it. But I think at least just purely by shooting, Hauser is the best in the class, and again, one of the best of the past decade. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's go more into like his offense game, which I mean it's not a shocker, it derives mostly around his shooting. He's not like running a ton of pick and rolls or for you doing other stuff, but he's not like, I would say he's definitely like, this goes towards being a great shooter, more versatile in his shot making than say one of his teammates who is a good shooter and a draft prospect in Trey Murphy, who I will say, I'd definitely say Trey's still a better overall prospect due to some very big difference in athletic tools between the two. And I think especially like defensively what you're getting into, but we don't have to go into that. But Hauser is not like just, I can only catch and shoot when I'm open. He can definitely shoot off of movement. I do like that he showed an ability to do it running to his right and running to his left. I think he's definitely more comfortable running to his right, but it's not like there's some dudes like, I love Kessler Edwards, but dude cannot run to his left and pull up and hit a three, like coming off of that. It's just, it's a little too awkward for him, which I think that's like, I always like to think about, like, I mean, JJ Redick's my favorite example. Just like when you swing that top leg around, you really just get a nice flow to it, and it can be a really nice shot. But Hauser, like, he kind of has like a wide base when he shoots. I wouldn't say it's like Klay Thompson, but I do think about, like, there is some similarities there in terms of just like having that wide base kind of gives him some structure to it. And he's not necessarily like, he doesn't have a lot of speed. He is a pretty slow dude relative to other basketball players at his level, but he does have a good knack for off-ball movement in terms of he usually continues moving most of the time. He's not someone who will just like stop moving if he's not open on the initial action. He has good sense about how to set guys up on off-ball screens, like kind of using his hands just when to, like, the very little burst that he has, he knows when to use it to get open. And he also has a good idea for, like, if I've noticed, like, when guards will drive down the middle on his teams, if he's like at the above the break, he will shake down to the corner very well. Like he's someone who's very aware that he is that great of a shooter, and he's always looking to hunt out those shots, which is something that he likes. And then I think he has some pretty good mid-range game. Like when you get, I think it was about 56% on non-rim twos this year. That's pretty fantastic. And he can, like, they sometimes run him off of UCLA cuts to set him up for post-ups. He's got like a little one leg step back fadeaway that he can go to from about 15 feet. It's pretty good. And yeah, just the dude, like, he can shoot in a lot of different ways, and he's pretty good from almost every area.
Yeah. Like, I think the mid-range is actually a big point also for that, like, he's such a special shooter because it's like, he's versatile from basically every single standpoint of shooting that you could almost think of. Like, I mean, he, like, this year, he's comfortable. He's actually somewhat comfortable, like, doing between the leg crossovers into step back threes,
yeah,
and mid range. He's comfortable turning around, doing a face up, like swing, doing a little rip through, and then rising up and firing because he has a high release as well, which is really helpful. So, just in case you just on top of that, 6'8", he also has a high release, so it's really, really hard to contest his shot. And yeah, I think the biggest thing throughout his career is the fact that, especially when he got to, at least this year with Virginia, is he's really ramped up how much he's not only shooting off movement, but just moving in general. Like, I, at this point, he's always been amazing shooter, but at this point, he's kind of testing the waters almost as of how what type of different angles and what type of different ways he could get a shot, because he's really aggressive now. He's really confident in terms of the types of shot. Like, I think actually when he actually messes up is actually the fact that he shoots too quickly, because
that's a great point. I think I noticed that sometimes. It's like he'll have some bad misses where he feels like oh, I think he's like cognizant of the fact that, again, he's not the most doesn't have the best athletic tools, doesn't have like great burst to get separation. But it's also like, dude, you're 6'8" and you do have a high release. You don't really need separation. If you think you have that split second open, take your time and you can get it off. Like, not every defender is Matisse Thybulle and going to jump from behind and swat you. Like, you can probably get it off.
Like, I think he's somebody who knows, like, the effects of his gravity. So he knows, you know, like, I think he, part of it's intentional in that he wants to kind of instill in the defense that, hey, I could get a shot off anytime and it'll be like, you'd be able to react to it. But I think a lot of it sounds like, because the fact that is, like, if he takes like 0.5 seconds extra on any shot, like if he has time to shoot any ball, it's basically at automatic every single time. I don't think I've seen him miss when he's actually had like time to like take a breath and then fire. Like he is completely automatic then. But a lot of times I think it's not just even with the shooting, but sometimes like he's very assertive in terms of like he usually plans like right away if he's going to drive rather than take the shot, because he does also put the ball on the floor sometimes. You posted before about him kind of taking Matt Hurd to the workshop.
Oh my gosh. So I'm so glad you brought that up. So that's one of the things I like about Hauser, is that I feel like he definitely, like you were saying, he was confident in like his ability to shoot and also like understands his gravity. Hauser did something that I think a mutual friend of ours, PD Webb, has said. It's not the exact same thing, but I think he punishes defenses for their mistakes very well. Like if someone goes over a screen, he flares to the corner, he's shooting that, and like a shooter as good as him, he's usually making it. But against, I think the best two examples were against Duke, they tried to put Matthew Hurd on him, who honestly probably a similar archetype in terms of great shooter, but lacking everywhere else. I would definitely say I would prefer Sam Hauser to Matthew Hurd. We don't have to go into that, but like basically Matthew Hurt got torched all game by a guy who can't get to the rim usually, and Sam Hauser, and I don't expect to get to the rim much at the NBA level because he was way too slow. So Sam Hauser knew that Hurt, Sam Hauser knew that Matthew Hurt was aware that he was a great shooter. So he went to this dribble where he has, where he'll like pound hard with his left and act like he's going to a step back, which he can't hit. Hurt jumps all the way out. Like the dude bit about as hard as you could in that. And then Hurt just take, I mean, Hauser takes one dribble forward after that. And there's no one in the lane. It's just a wide open dunk. So in that whole game, he basically just abusing the fact that he knows Matthew Hurt is too slow for him. Which, I mean, if you're too slow for Sam Hauser, that's again saying something about you. But
yeah.
And then like his best game, probably the Louisville game, where the problem with that was that Louisville had the speed. Louisville did not have the size to guard him. They basically could not contest his shot. And then when he got in a rhythm, he just was it felt like 8 to 10 shots in a row where it just like if you want to be really high on Sam Hauser after watching one game, go watch the Louisville Virginia game, I think at Louisville, because you will see a shooting display that like you can rarely ever see from a college player, where it just did not matter whatever Louisville was doing. He knew these guys are too small for me. I can get any shot from wherever I want, whether it's the, like you said, the in between the legs cross to a three, like kind of hang dribble and rise, or if you wanted to go to the mid range. And again, like punishing mistakes. Another thing he does well is like if a defender, like when they throw him into those post ups and he's facing up against them, if the defender's left arm, which would be on his right, is like down, he's immediately like going to rise up for what I call like the Morris brother mid-range shots, where it's just like kind of jab a few times, then go up. Like, but again, it's punishing them. Like, you can't make a mistake against me as a shooter because I know where I can get my shots from. And if you make that one mistake, I'm going for it. Like, that's the kind of thing we've just seen in the NBA, is that, like, of course, Sixers fans know this as watching guys like Ben Simmons play. Like, indecision can really kill you on offense, not punishing defenses for slipping up. And that is something Hauser is very good at. With the things that he is good at, if defenses make an error, he's not going to like just let that go by. He's like, nope, that's my shot. You just gave it to me.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And also, like, I think also the fact is like he's also had like, he's like, I think uniquely good at like adjusting himself in like mid show shot. So like he also knows that like I think a part of the reason why he also plays so assertively with his jumper, especially, is that the fact that like he knows that, oh, if I'm going up and I'm not like perfectly balanced, like he has like a, like an innate ability to kind of adjust himself in midair to like get him squared enough so that most of the time he can get a shot in, unless it's like an amazing contest or something like that causes him to like completely adjust his form. But that happens so rarely because of his size again. So, like, I think the fact that he can do it, he plays so assertively, he does it on any mistake, and he do it at almost any angle, is kind of, like, it's really hard to say that there's a shooting prospect with less holes than it, in terms of pure shooting. The only thing is just that the fact that, like, Oko's with probability. It's not likely he's going to be like the best shooter ever or something like that. Like somebody I was thinking of with the fact that like he's willing to attack aggressively on closeouts just every so often, is Joe Harris. And the fact that Joe Harris, similar size, he's become one of the best three-point shooters in the league. He's been like at the top three in terms of percentages. That's not something I would actually expect Hauser, but I'm saying that his track record is starting out better than what Joe Harris was at the same age. So that's like the type of level that, like, that's the type of ceiling he has as a shooter, and even as an attacker in the closeout, even though it's not likely he probably reaches it just because things happen.
Yeah, the main difference, like, I think shooting wise, I have absolutely no questions about Hauser. I would say it's the big thing about Joe Harris, that Joe Harris is not just a shooter. Joe Harris, like, you can't overextend on Harris because he can attack you off the dribble and score. It's not that Hauser can't dribble. I think we both like kind of saw that, like, he has enough like of a handle that he just doesn't get ripped as soon as he puts the ball on the floor. It's nothing like that. And he has a few moves, like, I think I call it, like, he likes to cross left and jab with his right, or go to that little like fake a step back dribble and then attack, like just little stuff, but it's all a little bit slower. And it's obviously not like the most complex handles. And with his lack of burst and length, I would kind of think like the dude's not getting many at rim attempts, especially off of drives from the perimeter. I'm just not confident that's happening very much at all. And I will ask you this. So you can talk about the handle too, but also like, what do you think of him as a passer? Just obviously like passing, like he doesn't need to be a dynamic playmaker in a sense, because that's not going to be his role in the NBA by any stretch. But I do think he has like decent instincts from when to swing the ball. Like, and I thought there were some, when he's at a stationary position, he can occasionally find passes. Like, I thought it wasn't great, but I thought it was like, this is fine for what he is. For the role he's going to be asked to, I don't think it's a problem. So, yeah. Handle and passing. What are your thoughts on that?
So, with his handle, I'll say that, like, he gets walled off a good amount. Like, even when he does drive, like, it's not like he's going to be attacking the rim, as he said, all the time. He's mostly just opportunistically. But, yes, as he said also, he has a handle, enough of a handle to get to spots to shoot, or to if you're really really make a mistake, to give him a huge length, you'll be able to functionally take care of it. But also what I think I like about him as a handler, and this goes also to the passing, is like he feels very comfortable on the move. Like, he doesn't feel like rushed or so on the move, and I think that goes into a passing. Like, I'll kind of describe his passing as he's able to make basic reads, but he makes them pretty confidently and assertively and somewhat quickly. So it's not the most advanced stuff. Like, usually it's, if he's on a cut, he's able to if he gets the ball immediately on the cut, and he surveys that, oh, somebody's helping off and he left the dunker spot open. He's able to hit the dunker spot and it's an easy dunker or something like that. Or he's able, if somebody else rotates from him, he's able to hit the corner quickly. He's able to make entry passes in the post. So for the Sixers, conglomerate is very important for with MB there. So he's able to make entry passes. He's able to make the obvious swing pass. So he's not going to ball stop. So even though he is definitely shoot first. So I think a lot of it is, I think this one thing I will harp on that, but makes me probably a little bit more enthusiastic about passing, that he's able to do that, but also on the move. Like, it's like the vast majority of it is stationary passing, like him surveying, especially a lot of it also was at Virginia, like it because of the slow offense or something like that.
Thankfully, Hauser, since he's such a great movement shooter, didn't do as much. It was frustrating when I was watching Trey Murphy that how many possessions of the mover and blocker offense where he's just standing at the block, not posting up, just setting screens and not moving the whole time. Like, my gosh, I'm about to throw my computer. Tony, I understand you've won a title. You're a great coach, but my God, this is just not fun. Like, not every big is Jack Salt. Like, I can. Trey has skill. Let him do. You had Trey Murphy and Jay Huff. Like, Virginia was an interesting watch actually, because they have their whole front court is basically NBA level prospects, and Jay Huff, Trey Murphy, and Sam Azar. Like, I don't know about Huff. I think they all deserve consideration. Is at least the thing to say. They're all very good. Yeah. And then, like, Kihei Clark would call for an isolation. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm like, please, can we just, like, Kihei, like, I remember you made the one pass in the Purdue game, like the best pass of your life. It was incredible. But, like, dude, you are not the guy to call for an ISO here. Why is this happening?
I've been not a fan of Kihei for, like, since he started.
I feel bad. So, like, you kind of want to root for like a 5'9 guard with like some skills, but it's also like, just, if you're 5'9, like, you got to have some like really expert savvy or like outlier burst. And it doesn't feel like he has either of those. Like, you know, you can be, we just saw the violence, like Chris Paul has survived at 6 feet for his 16 years in the league and been incredible, because Chris Paul's like, as an argument, is one of the smartest basketball players ever. And one of the like savviest like game controllers we've ever seen. Like, you got to be like that kind of level. And then Kia Clark's just like, nope, you know, this dude is 6'4". I'm going to post him up. Like, just, but,
With UVA, it's very interesting, because like, there might be an argument actually that with Huff, Hauser and Murphy, that is the best shooting front court in college history, or at least recent college history. I don't know if in past eras, they would have been great shooters, but they just didn't use them because they had no 3-point line or something like that. But like in recent, I struggle to think of a better shooting front court. Like,
it's all a pretty good one.
They're all amazing. They're all, well, at least amazing for the relative to the roles in this issue. Yeah. Like Huff is just taking pickup pops mostly and or bottoms, but he's really good at it for a 7'1" guy, and then Murphy is also really good at it. So but I think it brought the issue with that offense, which is that fact that like they couldn't survive any dry spells with shooting. Like that's what happened in the Ohio game.
Yeah, they went cold shooting against Ohio. Vander Plas went off, and that was it.
Yeah, it was still a close game throughout because they aren't that talented, but they can't survive shooting in slumps like that. So,
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Yeah, back to Sixers basketball. What do you think about Sam Hauser's fit within the Sixers offense and the one they ran this last year? So, because I think, well, probably the easiest parallel to think of is like, there's a good chance the Sixers aren't going to retain Furkan Korkmaz, and kind of having that shooter of size off the bench, you know, here is Sam Hauser. Like, kind of like some, like, you know, people don't watch the Sixers a ton of notice, but like Furkan is not an unathletic dude, like at all. Like he struggles defensively for certain reasons in terms of like, coordination, just understand, but he like Furkan, like, I think it's, he won the Turkish dunk contest way back. He's like, dude, it can get up occasionally. He's not like super slow. Like he's definitely a much more athletic dude, but still that same idea of this is a guy who can juice your offense with some shooting, provide you some stuff like that. And I do think like the Sixers run some floppy actions or mainly like act screens to get Danny Green to the corner where he's so good from three. And that's something I think like, if you need to put Sam Hauser in that kind of role in terms of like running off those screens down low and just like, if a defense cheats in one way, getting that corner three, like he's very, very good at that. So, and I also like what you said about him going back to the passing, like making those post entries, just, if you like, obviously, like, unless Doc Rivers changes, he might not be playing with Joel Embiid a ton, given the starters versus bench at a staggering, I would say. But when you are on the court with Embiid, you do have to wait to find the ball. Like, that's what made one of the biggest steps up, like having Danny Green and Seth Curry this past year instead of Josh Richardson. Like, Danny and Seth are both pretty good post-entry passers, whereas Josh Richardson, it feels mean because he's had such a rough 2 years. But, man, the dude, like, he was trying to throw like passes to Embiid where he like threw it to the wrong side. Like Embiid has his hand up on one side and it's going to the other, or it's just over the top of it. You know how hard it is to like throw it over Embiid's head? It's like, you know, it's like overthrowing Randy Moss. Like, dude, like this is not like a that big of a task. Like, just get him the ball. And that's just a thing. Like, you know, it sounds like it's a very boring skill, but it's like, yeah, like that's not something that everyone has because those are not easy passes to make. NBA defenders have long arms and the post defenders are reaching around. You just got to get it in there to him, and then he'll probably take care of the rest. And then obviously Hauser's like shooting acumen, guys aren't helping off of him most likely, or if they are, he can make them pay for it. So I generally like his fit within the Sixers offense, especially because if they're taking him, it's not for like to solve their bit, because I would say their two biggest needs offensively are like advantage creation is number one, but the next one is probably just, I would like to have a little more shooting with size, because It's all pretty much all of their best shooters, except for Tobias Harris, were like smaller guys who it's just a little easier to limit them. So I think he does like, he's not filling the biggest need, but as a guy who I'm expecting the Sixers maybe to target at pick 50 rather than 28, like I'm not expecting them to solve their biggest need at pick 50. So I think that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, like a lot of the whole time I was thinking like, is sort of maybe a Furkan, like I could see Doc saying that, hey, I'm going to, a lot of the stuff I run for Tobias, besides maybe like trying to get him more aggressive, like because a lot of this year Doc was trying to get Tobias more aggressive, like making going downhill a little bit more often than he used to go and everything like that. I don't think he'll do that with Hauser, of course he probably doesn't have the status or the capability, at least right now. But in terms of just getting him shooting looks, I think a lot of the Tobias, like I could see him even like telling Hauser, okay, we're gonna just like do like a little like a DHL action or something like that, just to it'll be like early possession stuff, just to quickly get you a jumper, like, and let you fire a ball, just take it every single time or something like that. I can actually see that happening, even though nominally he's going to be a role player, but I think with that level of shooter, at least you should be testing that.
For all the complaints about Doc Rivers, he has proven he knows how to use movement shooters.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, like Landry Shamet had his best year with him. It was off and on with shooting, but yeah, he had his best year with them. I think Doc would understand how to use Hauser. It's just like how much he would play him, basically, I think. Just like what he'd
be. Do you think because Hauser's an older rookie, he'll like him a little more?
I mean, it's possible. Like, I think it depends. I mean, like, because I it, like a lot of times it's just like who you trust more. Like I think Paul Reed. Like, when you look, Paul Reed looked good this year, relatively throughout the year, right, like that. But Doc just didn't have the trust to like go test how much he could go with them. Maxi was, Maxi was up and down throughout the year, so it was understandable. But Doc only trusted them when he kind of felt like he had to. I think at the end. So like with rookies, it's like it's not just Doc, it's with a lot of coaches. It's like you have to prove it, you have to have no other choice. So it's possible. It's like because he's an older rookie, like you would probably lean more that if he's good, then he's going to be able to get that opportunity. But it depends. But I think like when you're this versatile of a shooter, it's kind of hard to not be able to fit you. Like I always say that, like shooting, like the thing that a shooting does, it's just like it makes it so easy for coaches to just scheme up anything. Like it's just like a cheat code for them, because like when you're like talented at like other skills, but you can't shoot that well or anything like that, coaches have to like go out of their way to make plays so that they can take advantage of that. Like, and that's kind of the issue with a lot of role players, is like just like it might be as good as another one who's like shooting only, but the shooting only guy, you don't have to worry about. You can just play him in the corner at worst case scenario, and you'll still have a functional gravity while you can't do that with others, because without interfering with others. So that's like the pitch with somebody like Hauser, is the fact that you could fit him in just about any offense, and he'll have like a very functional role within it, and will benefit others.
I mean, yeah, just shooting, it's probably the most scalable offensive skill. You can just add it on, and it's not really taking away anything. And yeah, the DHO you mentioned was a good thing. So Sixers do like to run that. And the actions I wrote down that he could probably run are DHO flopping. I think he could be like, they don't run a ton of Spain pick and rolls, but if they did, he'd be a great back screener, just as someone has size to hit someone. But then obviously if he pops out and you forget about him, that's probably a really bad thing for the defense. But speaking of his defense, that's probably what we should talk about with Hauser, because I mean, I would say like the culmination of why people wouldn't be considered that great of a draft prospect kind of lies here, because like the lack of athletic tools outside of the height and some strength and the age, like I think you've pointed out to me several times, like he knows what he's doing on defense. He's not like someone who is lost, and that's something to be expected probably. I mean, again, being coached by Tony Bennett at Virginia, even for just 1 year, like you will have like understand some like low help responsibilities, and like you're not going to be like caught napping at certain places, which is fine. But my biggest concern, like if I had to have a bottom line, is that I think he can only really guard other bad fours at the NBA level. or like not even bad, like limited fours at the NBA level. I just, because I think any type of three is going to be too quick for him, especially on the perimeter. Just like they'll like sit him on a ball screen, he's not going to reattach, and then it's a 2-on-1 against the dropping big, which I mean the Sixers are definitely in drop most of the time given their usual personnel. Who knows, maybe if they play Paul Reed they're going to go to switch everything, but we'll stop probably a little too far out to guess that. And then I mean dude does have some strength and some size. He doesn't, it's not even that he doesn't have the strength to bang with like fives inside, it's that the lack of length is the problem.
Yeah,
you definitely see it in that, like he was getting there like on those low rotations when guys are getting to the rim or on like passes to the roll, like he's there, his contests don't matter. The guy just jumping out of them is like, this dude's hand isn't high enough in my face. It's like the same thing that Hauser gives a problem to, like the 6'5 wings trying to check him in college. Like your contest doesn't matter when I go up for this jump shot. It's the 6'11 rolling big man. Like Hauser tries to jump, you know, his hand's barely hitting his chin of the other guy. It's like, this doesn't matter. I can still make this. And that's just what my worry would be, is like for a team like the Sixers, who I talked about this, Mark Schindler, our mutual friend back, like when we were talking about Trey Mann and Terrence Shannon Jr., like especially with Terrence Shannon Jr., who unfortunately pulled out of the draft, just how much he could help the Sixers in terms of his, with his own versatility, and how the Sixers could use more versatile players, because they have so many, the Sixers have too many lineups, it feels like, where it's like we have XX and X players, but they can only play an X lineup, like with this set of scheme. Like they don't have a lot of flexibility within their own team, it feels like. And I do worry about that Hauser, just like, again, I think he can only guard limited fours, and that's not a very flexible defensive position. It does help that the Sixers probably need someone to defend fours coming off their bench, considering, again, their bench this year was Dwight Howard and four guys under 6'5". So it's definitely a role that can be filled. But I just, like, it's a concern, I'll say, for Hauser. Like, probably it's a lesser concern on a team like the Sixers, which is good. But overall, my concern for him as a prospect is just that he's so – what he can do defensively, even if he knows what he's doing, is just, I feel like, limited to that very specific role.
Yeah. Like how I phrase his defense is basically it, is that I do not think it's bad enough to override all his good strengths on offense, especially with the shooting and the ability to play on the move. So I was like, I 100% agree. Like, I think maybe even more than slowness, the fact that he's, you know, like, I believe he has a 6'9 and like 1/4 wingspan.
Basically the same as his height.
Yeah, close. It's like it's like 1 or 2 inches. Plus, which is not special. Like, and then he has an 8'6" standing reach. So that's basically like almost shooting. A lot of shooting guards have that type of standing reach and wingspan combination. Like, especially with the standing reach. So it's like, I think he's actually rather good, like despite his slowness, he's rather even good. Like if you ISO against him or just take him a drill, he's pretty good at beating you to the spot as long as he's playing with enough space back. Like I think like what happens is, like, of course, like if you get him with a couple of different moves, he can't recover at all. So like that's going to be an issue. But like the initial, like you can't just always, I don't think you'll be able to successful always just say, oh, I'm just going to straight line blow by this guy every single time. It'll work every single time. Like, I think he has enough positional know-how and
that's where the strength comes into play, just because he does tend to play, you know, again, very cognizant of who he is. He's not getting up into guys like jerseys. He's like playing off a few steps, like I'm trying to like not give up a drive here, and when they drive, like if I can just like engage them with like the upper part of my body, I am strong enough that I can kind of just slow their momentum. But like you said, the recovery, like some of these closeouts after tags, like they're not, he just isn't getting back out in time. Like he's trying, but he's just not quick enough to do it. Or if he does, like you said, if he ever bites on a move, like it's just done, which is just such a low margin for error. You can't be a guy like some of the Sixers players, like Matisse Thybulle, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, like maybe they get caught in a fake for a second, but they're like physical specimen and they just like turn and block the shot anyways. Like, that's never going to happen for him. Like Hauser gets bites on a fake, it's a power play for the opposing offense, which is just a problem.
Yeah. Like I think actually, one thing relative to his class, like a player like Kispert, who I actually think is like a worse shooter or something, or worse than Hauser or something like that. But I think if you were to argue with the case for Kispert over Hauser, is the fact that like defensively, he's actually rather good at like recovering and stuff like that. Like, I don't even think it's just like better positional know-how or even like a huge leap in quickness. It's more like like the way his athleticism works, he's actually good at recovering when he gets beat and stuff like that. So he's able to stay in the play and affected more often than Hauser is. Like where Hauser is kind of like he's hoping that his first ideas work.
That's a great way to phrase it. Just like, and his first ideas are all pretty good, but just like that's a really tough, because the thing is like the NBA players have a good idea of what your first ideas are. Like it can't be said enough. NBA players are fantastic at what they do. And no matter how good your first idea is, if they can think of a counter and it works against you because you don't have the tools to recover, like that's just a very hard way to survive.
Yeah. So I think he plays really very hard. He, besides the physical part, like he is good at using his strength. I do think like if you put him on a big that's not like a completely like either like massively bigger, like a Boban size or something like that, or extremely advanced in terms of footwork and stuff like that, I think he's able to hold up because he does bang. He's like the wingspan is short, but he's able to make it so that even if with a short wingspan, most of the time you're getting like probably like a 10-footer or a 10 to 12-footer. So it's like, you'll probably get a decent look because of the wingspan and stuff like that, but it's still not like the best shot for an offense. You could live with that if you're a defense. So I think if he's in those scenarios, and you would probably want to match him up in those scenarios. With in terms of off ball, like I think, yeah, the probably the issue is just like, getting him through ball screens will probably be a struggle, but like if you latch him onto a player who either doesn't move too much through screening actions or something like that, or isn't at least a major threat to be moving all around the perimeter arc or something like that. Like if he just goes to one spot, it might be doable for Hauser in terms of like he's usually like pretty good with like taking the right angle once he's trying to help recover back to his man and stuff like that. It's just again just like the speed of how he does it and also the length to actually contest the shot. But like it's a case where like he won't be able to like deny a lot of shots, but you could hopefully get it so that he's forcing the offense to take a suboptimal path to getting good looks. So like if they're forcing the ball to somebody who's like a 35% three-point shooter or something like that, then he's getting like decent looks. They could probably hurt you, but there's a good chance that you will live with it and you could maybe make it up on the other end. He's like, so it's a case basically that it's not bad enough to sank him, because like if he was worse positionally or something like that, like if he was making mistakes all the time, then yeah, it's even with that level of shooting, it might be difficult. Like there are other shooters that have come back around in like more 6'9", 6'10". So, and a lot of times it's just like, besides being slow, they like positionally, they were probably just like a tad worse, or they were a bit too skinny to have like a strength advantage in the post or something like that. With Hauser, I think he has just enough.
Yeah, it's so fascinating thing about just how the margins of error shift, like in how you have to compensate them. Like a guy I think of is Deuce McBride, I think takes a lot of bad angles on his closeout sometimes. Yeah. It's obviously a very different player than Sam Hauser, but like also Deuce has a massive wingspan and is very quick. So sometimes it doesn't matter, because it's like, it does matter sometimes, but it's also like, if you can fix that up at the NBA level, now you have like a really good, you might really have something, because he does have those physical tools. And also, I just wanted to ask you this before we wrap up here. How much do you think Sam Hauser's defense is hurt reputationally by the fact that Joey Hauser is his brother?
Yeah. So I think the are honestly probably what if I was like Sam Hauser's agent, what I would do is if you send every team a video saying, if you have questions about Sam Hauser's defense, please look at his brother, and then see.
I don't know if I would do that, because what if they just like by association they're like, oh, but think about that, those Hausers bad on defense. Like I was like, you know, I was talking about Sam Hauser. I think is going to be I think he's going to be a bad defender at the next level, but not like you're saying, the hope is not like so bad that it's again outweighs the shooting. Like Joey Hauser, I watch a lot of Big Ten basketball this year. I don't want to kill the guy, but man, the defense on Michigan State was like, I like one of my favorite tweets to send out during the year was Michigan State's 2020, like 2021 defense is a reminder why Xavier Tillman in 2020 should have been like defensive player of the year, because my goodness, the mistakes that they made are just like wild closeouts that were not working, or like hilarious screenshots where another team has like three guys running to the rim at the same time. Michigan State has no, they have somehow got so disorganized that there's just no one there. It's like, it's like the perfect culmination of like, so imagine like Sam Hauser's same limitations, but a little slower and like no concept of angles.
Yes, exactly. So I think like when you watch Joey Hauser, you like, you appreciate the fact that, okay, knowing something, knowing where to be or how to get to a place on defense, it's very, very valuable still, even if you, even with those limitations. And that'll be my argument for Sam is that fact that like a lot of times, even if you're not, you can't affect something as much as you want, just being in the right place does dissuade more subconsciously, at least than people realize. So that would be the case, because Joey Alger though is part, like, even if he was as good of a shooter as his brother, it still wouldn't work.
Yeah,
it still wouldn't work. That is that level bad. So like I think with Sam, like, he, it's multiple tiers better than his brother, to the fact that he's still bad, but you can, like, when you're this level, like a generational level shooting prospect, then you can live with it. I think you could live with it definitely within a much higher draft board range. So,
So Francis, one last question here. So Sam Hauser, like, I don't think he's quite good enough due to the limitations to be warranted at pick 28. That's in my opinion, but like, I would be pretty happy if the Sixers took, like, it took a guy who with this, like you said, this generational shooting and like I think enough like traits in other areas to survive in the NBA at pick 50. Like, how good of a pick, like, both for Sam Hauser and for the Sixers, do you think it would be like at pick 50?
I think it'd be awesome. I wouldn't 100% guarantee that. Oh, it'll be the very, very best player available, because there might be some other players who fall or something like that. But I definitely have, like, I have Hauser high, much higher than 50. Like, I assume that if it was a pick 28, I'll have other players who I would prefer at pick 28. But I'm high enough on the shooting that I wouldn't be that like distraught if the Sixers picked up at 28. I know it's not going to happen or so, but like, I think I'm high enough on the shooting, just like it's that good of a shooting, it's that like transformative that I wouldn't be that mad about it. Like, I would assume that I'll be more iffy on other picks, actually, to be honest. But at 50, I think it's just a great sway. Like, if for a reason that the defense does end up being too limited as the next couple of years, and it doesn't work out, then at 50 is not that big of a deal. It's very, very much worth the swing of perhaps having like the upside for Hauser is that he's the best off-ball shooter in the league. Like, that's not a star. I think less legitimate the upside for him as a shooter. So if getting that at 50, like, you'll take that every single time and try to work it out.
Hey, I mean, if Papa Giannis can get taken at 13, then like any pick is possible. He is Francis at Ben Thrifty on Twitter. This has been a great pod. Really enjoyed talking about Sam Hauser with you. Anything you want to plug or tell people about before we get going?
Not much. I know next week I'm with our good bunch of beautiful friend PD Webb. We're doing a marathon stream on a potpourri of different draft prospects, and I should be involved with that. So I think that'll be next Tuesday or so. So if anybody listens to that and wants to check it out, follow above the break three on Twitter and find out when that's happening. But besides that, you could just follow me, I guess, at Ben Thrifty. I'm usually nice when if you comment to guess me, I'm usually down for whatever combo you want, and even if I don't agree with what you take, I'll do so respectfully, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely follow Francis. He probably has probably one of the smartest basketball minds on Twitter. Just some great conversations I've had with him really helps me understand the game better. This has been a blast. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you all for listening to the Sixers Draft Podcast on the Liberty Ballers podcast feed. Please subscribe, rate, and review, all those good things, and I will talk to you all next time.